The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
I'd like us to consider this morning this verse that was read at the beginning, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Very familiar verse to us. We memorize it at a young age. We consider it often. I just taught it. We taught it to our four-year-old. She said it, and it's a great thing to hear from the lips of children. But to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and to not lean on our own understanding, in all of our ways to acknowledge Him, and He will make straight our paths. I would challenge us this morning with this verse because there are times in our life when we feel that we are leaning on Christ, that we are walking in His ways, that we're doing all that we can to trust in Him. And yet there's these times of confusion, these times when we're not so certain that we're really on the right path and going in His way. I'd like us to consider this morning as an example of this and a working out of this verse, 1 Chronicles chapter 13. So if you would turn there in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 13, this principle of trusting the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledging Him and how He will guide and direct us. And as you turn there, I'd like to ask a kind of question that you don't hear often in seminary or elsewhere, but just to consider this morning, because whether you've been in ministry for a while, whether you're in ministry now and you're looking forward to a lifetime of ministry, it's a sobering question to ask, what's the worst thing that could happen to us in our ministry? It's the kind of answer that can only reveal much of who we are and also reveals to us the areas where we need the gospel to shape our lives. Perhaps one of the worst things that could happen is that we're going on a trajectory in our ministry that seems right, but it's not in God's plan or in His timing or in His way. When we may sense at times in our ministry that we have the absence of the presence of God, the long dark night of the souls, it's often called traditionally. A fearing of God, not in His holiness, but of unholy terror. That we view Him not as a father, but some sort of capricious cosmic bully. Perhaps we have a fear in our ministries of failure or of having others see us fail, and that drives us on day after day, this fear of failure, and yet knowing that we and ourselves cannot continue this way of ministry. So we can see these elements and some facet of these from David's life here in 1 Chronicles 13. And while perhaps this might not be the most tragic thing to happen in his reign, what does this say regarding our choices and how we go about even good things in our ministry? Are we seeking God's will and His guidance as often and as thoroughly as we ought? So allow me to read here from 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I'll be reading from the ESV. It says this, David consulted with the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, with every leader. David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you and from the Lord our God, let us send abroad to our brothers who remain in all the lands of Israel, as well as to the priests and the Levites in the cities that have pasture lands, that they may be gathered to us. Then let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul." All the assembly agreed to do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Verse 5, 1 Chronicles 13. So David assembled all Israel from the Nile of Egypt to Lebaleth to bring the ark of God from Kirith-Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Bala, that is to Kirith-Jearim, and that belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord who sits enthroned above the cherubim. And as they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Io were driving the cart. And David and all Israel were rejoicing before God with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Shidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah and struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, and he said, "How could I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David did not take the ark home into the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the household of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now the chronicler here is writing to a people, God's people, his chosen people, but yet a people who were coming out of exile. They had been uprooted from their land. All that they had had been burned or torn down, was in ruins when they returned. Writing to this people, the chronicler is encouraging the people to obey, to learn from the patterns of the forefathers who did not walk in the ways of the Lord, but rather who did what was right in their own eyes. This theme of doing right in their own eyes is throughout the Old Testament. When the people saw things, perhaps of the other lands around them, why the people wanted a king was because, well, the other nations have a king. In the Judges, the days of the Judges, this recurring theme throughout the book, that the people did, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And one that is very, very prominent today through messages in the media, in song, on television shows, through commercials. Do the silly, do whatever. Do whatever comes to mind. Do whatever's right in your own eyes to get your own ends. Something that we are challenged with today. So in this world, we are called to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to lean not on our own understanding. And in everything we do in our ministries, do it all for the glory of God as we follow in his paths. See, in this passage, we see David as the king of Israel, as God's chosen people, as the very Son of God, spiritually for the people. Whom did David go to for advice? Whom did he consult? We look in verse 13 that David, in verse 1, that he consulted his officers, his commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds. In verse 2, he consulted with the whole assembly of Israel that if it seems good to you, and I think parenthetically in verse 2, and if it is good to the Lord our God. Verse 3, he calls the priests and the Levites from all over the country to come and to do this. And verse 4 is very telling. All the assembly agreed to do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of the people. The question that we ask is, what could be so wrong about this? After all, as David says here, this was not considered while Saul was king. So why shouldn't we go recapture the ark, regain the ark that we have? The Philistines sent it over, and if you remember, they released it from their territory because of the plagues they suffered. So David's saying, why don't we bring it back home here into Jerusalem? What could be wrong with that? All the people were behind it. The commanders were behind it. The king said, let's do it. Gives his royal approval. Well, what seems missing is not the essence of the idea itself, this bringing of the ark back, the presence of God, but rather the motivation behind it and the corresponding obedience that was lacking in this. This can be very true then and now, because we can be confronted in our ministries with many, many good things. We will have to make choices between good things such as, do we spend time and energy and resources building up our Sunday school program, or do we spend time doing evangelism? Now, in an ideal world, we could do all things, all ministries for all people, to use Paul's term, to become all things to all people at all times. But as you will see in ministry, there are times when we have to say no. There are times we have to choose our ministries wisely. And as we do that, we consult and we come before God and say, what would you have us do at this time and in this place? You see, the tragedy, this event that should have been a great day of celebration of bringing the ark back, turned into a day of tragedy. That even in this idea of doing good, a good thing. In verse 9 and 10 says this, when they came to the threshing floor of Shidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. It's very clear here that it's on some kind of a crude cart. That you would think that if they had called all the Levites, all the priests from all over the kingdom, that at least one of them would suggest, well, actually God gave us a way to do this. God suggested that we should not carry it on a cart, but it's made with these little pole holes. You think that might be a hint of how we're supposed to do it. But this idea of celebration and turning a great day was dissuaded, was tragically overturned because of their disobedience. Uzzah reaches out, it says, and he touched the ark, and the anger of the Lord, in verse 10, was kindled against him, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. We see David's reaction in verse 11 that he was angry, and I think properly so, because this was a joyous occasion. He was doing this for God, after all. And yet he became afraid of God that day, and he said, how can I bring the ark of God home to me? And so it was no longer this relationship between God and David as father and son, but looking at God as, how could you do this? How could you bring this to bear on us? In our ministries, we need to remember that God's will and God's time is not necessarily our will and our time. That his plan for us might change. Our response is to do what we read in the beginning of trusting in him, obeying him, walking in his ways, and he will direct our paths. Now, fortunately, we read on in 1 Chronicles, and as it's also recorded in 1 Samuel, that eventually the ark is brought back to Jerusalem. And there is a time when the celebration is seen in its fullness, that there's this rejoicing. But for us who are united with Christ, who now stand on this side of the cross, it's a reminder that we are now clothed with him. We are now at peace with God. That Christ, as this great king, did not do his own thing. As David, in this passage, does whatever the people say because it is good. Christ endured the shame of the cross. He did not his own will, but the will of him who sent him. As Jesus Christ pleads in Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. We also follow. See, Jesus Christ is the one who did put his trust in God with all of his heart, who did not lean on his own understanding, but did in all things walk in God's way through his obedience, through his death, through his resurrection, and how he now gives that to us. So that in our ministries, we will not become discouraged. We will not be dissuaded when things do not go as we think they should. As Jesus cried, your will be done, not my will be done. Well, we have to do this on a daily basis. And I got to tell you, this is hard. This is really, really hard. It's easy for me to talk on a Tuesday chapel and say, hey, just trust God and do his will. But there are times when we are convinced in our ministries that we are doing God's will. And only later would I realize that we're actually doing our own will, our own design, as good as that may be, in our own strength oftentimes. Other times, God will, and he may say no to a ministry or stop to a ministry, even if it is a very good work or ministry. And this is hard for us to imagine and get our arms around, because we think humanly, if it's successful, if it's good, if it's going forward, if it's accomplishing God's will, therefore, God must bless it, like it's some sort of cosmic equation. But God doesn't work that way. His plans are not our plans. His ways are greater and higher and more glorious than our ways. And in the times when our ministries are going well, remember to keep in step with the Spirit, that it's not because of you or your giftedness or your talents that these are going well, but because of his mercy and his grace, and we continually seek his will to understand how we're to proceed with the next step. So what will it look like? What does it look like to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, to seek his will, not our own? Well, just a few verses from the New Testament. First one, very broad but very helpful, is to fix our eyes on Jesus, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Because he has gone before us, because he has suffered things that no king, no creator should have, humanly speaking, suffered. But yet he put himself under God's will. We can fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Another thought, Matthew chapter 5 is when Jesus in the Lord's Prayer tells us to pray daily, your will be done, your kingdom come. And that may change throughout the course of the semester. It may change throughout the years of your ministry, what those specific your will be done looks like. Your will be done in this specific calling that I'm in right now. And what does that look like with the people that I don't get along with necessarily? With these ideas that I would like to do, but it seems very hard. Help me understand your will in that. Father, help me understand your will in being single, or with the marriage that I'm in, or with the neighbors that I'm with. Help me to understand how to bring you glory in these things, because I want to do your will and your kingdom and not my own. Finally, in James 5, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. See, when we do this, when we put ourselves and come back to God, he is gracious, and he will do this. And these are times that we say, not my will, but God, I want to know your will and your leading in my life. So in the years of ministry that God gives you, remember that his will is different than ours. That David here did his own thing. He consulted the people. He consulted the officers. He consulted the Levites. And yet he needed to consult God. And how often we do this very same thing. But as we stand now in Christ, would you do that today? Would you in your prayers this week say, Father, please reveal to me your will. What are you showing me now, even in the ministries that I'm involved with, even the relationships that I'm involved in, to do your will, to put my will aside, and to do what you have called me to do? In all things of ministry, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray. Would you give us, Father, this ability to see how you are making all things new, even when to us things are not moving at all, even when at times we think things are so wrong, but that you are drawing all people to yourself, that you are bringing glory to your name even now. We pray for this world that is so needy, so broken. We sometimes forget that fact. We get too comfortable in this world. We do things automatically from our default system. Would you help us to see what it is to do your will and to seek the glory of Christ first and foremost, even today, even this week, in our relationships, in our families, in our churches? Would you protect us in the snow tomorrow and in the coming weeks? Pray out this all for your glory. Amen. Go in peace.